Welcome to Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. This is Elder Neil Phelan, Jr., preaching for regular Sunday morning services.
I was really thinking about it last week when Brother Charles came, and I was going to speak from the 23rd division of the Psalms, Psalms 23. This is a very, very familiar passage of Scripture to every one of you. If you're Bible readers, you've read the 23rd Psalm. And I'm just going to read it. It's only six verses, so let's read the 23rd division of the Psalms this morning and draw some wonderful conclusions from this passage of Scripture. This, of course, is written by the sweet psalmist of Israel, who is David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As I've said, this is one of the most quoted passages of Scripture. Many times at a funeral service, you'll find the 23rd division of the Psalms written on the card that they hand out during the funeral. And the reason is because it is a very comforting passage of Scripture. Now, if we read the 23rd Psalm, and I've preached through this Psalm before, verse by verse, but this morning I want to look at the entire Psalm to kind of hold it together in our minds and our thoughts. As we read the Psalm, let us remember that it's written by David, who himself was a shepherd of the sheep. And it's written from the perspective of a person who was well acquainted with being a shepherd and also with the sheep that he was tending. Remember that David was a shepherd and his job was given to him by his father. He was a keeper of his father's sheep. And so as we read this psalm, we read it from the perspective of Jesus Christ being our shepherd. The Bible speaks of Christ as being the good shepherd. It speaks of Jesus Christ as being the great shepherd. And it speaks of Jesus Christ as being the chief shepherd. And so this psalm is written for every one of us as the sheep of God's pasture. So as we read this, we read it from the perspective of sheep who view Jesus Christ as being our shepherd. And as David writes this psalm, remember he's drawing deep from the wells of his experience, because David had led the sheep out to pasture many a day and many a night. Day by day, night by night, the good shepherd would lead the sheep out to pasture, to green grass, to still waters, through the crags and crevices and the trails, all through the mountains, all through the meadows. The good shepherd would lead the sheep out to pasture and lead them safely back to the fold. And so David, as he's writing this psalm, he's looking at God in this very special way of being a shepherd. Now, sometimes in our own experience, we don't really look at the Lord that way, do we? Sometimes we maybe look at the Lord in a very different way than the psalmist has written. But as we look at these verses, and as we on a daily basis can consider ourselves as the sheep of God's pasture, if we can consider Jesus Christ in the same way that David is looking at God himself, then we can find great comfort in our daily experience, knowing that the chief shepherd is watching over us. And I believe that's what David did. Knowing his own life and his own experience as being a shepherd, and begin to muse upon God and think about how that God treated him and how that God watched over him and how that God led him and how that God fed him and how that God was faithful to him, David says, that's just like a shepherd. I think I'll write a song about God and his relationship to me as a shepherd. And to this we see the 23rd Psalm as it unfolds in our lives. And there's two veins of thought that you can draw from the words. There's a lot of allegory here as the shepherd speaks about the sheep. And one allegory can be our experience in God's house as the shepherd blesses us here by feeding us and leading us to still waters. But also there is an allegory of life in general, in our own personal lives and our private dwellings, how that the shepherd continues to watch over us. And we're going to touch on probably a few of both of those today. And of course, there are no concrete facts when you come to allegories. There are many truths that I believe we can draw deep from these words of the sweet psalmist in Israel. But if we're living our lives as we should, we're really not going to be able to separate our church life from our own life out in our private dwellings, because they all are flowing together. They all are one in our own house and in our own lives and experience. So let's look at these verses. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And this is David's relationship with God, how he sees God in his personal lives. Now, stop and think about this a minute as David writes these words, that the Lord is his shepherd. David's looking at his own experience as a shepherd. And I think that David remembers one thing about his life as a shepherd, that he was going to take care of the father's sheep. I'm sure there were a lot of shepherds in that day and a lot of young men that may have been given the responsibility of their father's sheep. That really didn't do a good job. Now, some of you this morning, you young men out here, you know that your father's given you jobs before. And you know whether or not you've done a good job when your father gave you a job. Some of you probably took it very seriously. Your father gave you a job and you were going to do that job right. If your father told you to rake the leaves, you're going to go out there and rake every leaf you could find. But you also know that there may have been some times that your father gave you a job and you kind of blew it off. You said, you know, I'm just going to do the basics here. I'm not really going to do a good job because there's a ball game going on, and I'm going to get this job done as quick as I can. And I'm going to run out and I'm going to leave this job half done. Now, I've had kids and some of them do good jobs at times, and some of them have done some not too good jobs at times. But David, I believe, was a great shepherd. And I think when he draws and he writes these words, the Lord is my shepherd, he's looking at the good job that he did. He's thinking, you know what? I was there with those sheep every step of the way. I watched over them every night. I made sure that there was no bears, no lions around to take those sheep. I fed them. I watered them. I stayed up at night. It was a laborious job to be a shepherd. And so David, this is David's personal opinion of God. So is that your opinion of the Lord this morning, that you look at the Lord as your shepherd, that he is that faithful to you? Some people look at the Lord, and there are times that we also may think that some things about the Lord, that the Lord maybe is unknowing, that the Lord really doesn't know we exist, as Brother Jeff mentioned this morning, that he may not know what's really going on in our lives. We go through trials and tribulations. We walk through the deep waters and through the fiery trials. And we may come to this conclusion that the Lord really, his eye is somewhere else. He's worried about everybody else. He's thinking about the big things out there. He's worried about global warming and, you know, all the big things going on in the world today. But yet, so far as me, as just a little old bitty sheep, the Lord really does not know what's going on in my life. Well, David, as a shepherd, would know that God did know about him, because he knew about every one of the sheep that he was caring for. David would care about every little sheep that was entrusted to him by his father, regardless of whether it was an old sheep, a young sheep, regardless of its of what sheep that was. David knew about every one of them. And we read off in the scriptures about how that the good shepherd leaves the 99 and goes out and finds the one shepherd, the one sheep that's out there that's lost. Somebody might say, well, you know, so far as God is concerned, he's really uncaring. God really doesn't care about me as an individual. Well, David could consider his own experience as a shepherd and know that he did care about the sheep. That if one of them had something wrong with him, that he would pick that sheep up and carry it in his bosom back to the place of safety. David cared for his sheep. And sometimes we even get the idea of God that God's unkind. That God is this mean person up in heaven, and that he's just waiting for us to mess up to where he's going to really thump us and he's going to really punish us. That God's an unkind God. And David would think of himself as a shepherd, that he certainly wasn't an unkind shepherd. He cared for his father's sheep. And so as we see the words that David writes here, just imagine how deep that he drew from his wells of experience in caring from his father's sheep. And that's the idea that we should have as we read the 23rd Psalm. It has to do with our perspective of God himself. And he says, I shall not want, in the very first verse. That means that David knew that the sheep that he was caring for would never want for the necessities of life. That he was going to make sure that they had plenty of food, plenty of water, that he would not run them down he would not walk them so far that they would lose their strength, that they would have everything that a sheep would need. Now, I don't know about your experience when you were growing up, but when I was growing up as a child, I never worried about a want. So far as I never worried that I wouldn't have any food on the table. I never worried that there wouldn't be a roof over my head. I never worried that I was going to freeze to death at night. I never worried about the basic things that I needed as a child. And the reason that I didn't worry about those things was because of the complete trust that I had in my parents. I felt secure in my home. I felt loved in my home. And I knew that it never crossed my mind that there would be anything that I would really need that would ever come into my life that I would be desperate and not have it. Well, this is the view that David has of God. That he sees God as that great provider. As the one that was going to continually watch over him in his journey in life. And he compared himself to God in this, and that he was going to make sure that the sheep had everything that they needed. I shall not want. Now, there may be a lot of things that we don't need. There's a difference, as we've said before, between needs and wants. You and I may want a lot of things that we don't need. And sometimes we overextend getting the things that we want. And sometimes we get in need because we've spent too much on the things that we want. But the Lord is faithful to his people. And he blesses us with the things that we stand in need of. This is great comfort to us, because as we look out into the future, sometimes we see the world reeling and rocking to and fro. We see the stock market go up and down. We see all the problems that our country is facing today with the economic crisis. And sometimes we might worry, you know, will Social Security benefits run out? Well, will I have a job in the future? Will I be able to take care of my family? Will I be able to have food for my table? What kind of insurance benefits am I going to have in the future? I mean, all these things can perplex us. But isn't it a comfort to us if we can just stop and remember that the Lord is our shepherd? That no matter what may happen in this world, that no matter what may happen in this country, that we are going to be able to rely upon the great shepherd of the sheep, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd. And no matter how bad it gets in this country, that the Lord's going to take care of us. I don't know about you, but that's my greatest source of comfort. So I don't look to myself. I don't look to my portfolio. I don't look to whatever degree I might have. I don't look to anything of my own self for the future. I mean, we all worry about a job. We all worry about things in the future. But I don't look to those things. I'm looking to the Lord. And I can tell you from my personal experience that when we had a business for 25 years in Malvern, some of you are businessmen here. And, you know, when you have a business, sometimes it's like they say, it's either feast or famine. Sometimes you're doing great in your business. It's rocking along really good and you're doing well. And then sometimes it seems like that everything's going bad. You can't pay your bills. It's up and down in a business. That's some one of the things that'll drive you crazy in a business. But, you know, I look back in my experience when we had our business, and the Lord was always there watching out for us. At times that it seemed like we were in that famine part of it, the Lord would come along and bless it enough just to keep it going. And I always prayed that prayer that we read in that Solomon prayed, that I wouldn't do too well that I'd forget where it came from, but yet I wouldn't fall too far down in the bottom that I'd have to go steal something somewhere to take care of myself. That's what Solomon prayed. But David's looking to the Lord as his shepherd, the one that's going to provide him. Verse 2 is probably one of the most remembered parts of this psalm. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Now, we know that that talks about provision. It talks about food and water that, of course, every sheep needs. But I think it goes beyond that in my thoughts in this psalm. Because when we read those words, still waters and green pastures. And if you can, in your mind this morning, just visualize a sheep that is out in this green pasture, lying down right beside these still waters. He's had plenty to eat. And there he is. What crosses your mind this morning? Is it not peace? I see that the psalmist is writing here that this great shepherd is the person that has provided him with great peace in his life. Jesus Christ is spoken of in Scripture as the Prince of Peace. And there's nothing that's more important to a sheep other than food and water than just having some peace. And to me, it tells me that as David writes this, he had seen those sheep out there that had had plenty to eat, plenty to drink, and he had seen them lying down in a peaceful posture. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, that there's nothing that pleases him more than to see the sheep of his pasture lying down and having peace in their lives. There is no greater commodity in life that you and I may enjoy than peace. I mean, you might say, I wish I had all the money in the world, or I wish I had power, I wish I was famous, I wish I had all of those things. But if you had every one of those things this morning and you didn't have peace, do you think you would enjoy it? No. You can't enjoy anything if you don't have peace. And to me, it's an indicator that if you and I lose our peace in our lives, then it means that we have strayed from the shepherd, doesn't it? I mean, the shepherd is the one that leads us through life, through these pastures and places. And when we begin to lose the peace in our own personal experience, then we have not been following the shepherd to the green fields and the still waters. You know, we talk about how much it rains, and people will pull out their rain gauge, and it's somewhat of an indicator of the rain that's fallen. There's 2 inches of rain that's in my rain gauge this morning. That tells me it rained 2 inches. Well, the peace that you and I experience in our own personal lives is an indicator just as accurate that if we've lost the peace in our lives, then we have quit trusting the shepherd. We're not trusting him like we should. Or we have walked out in a path of our own. We've quit following the shepherd. We're marking our own trail. We're not behind the shepherd and leading. We're not following him to the green pastures and the still waters. I've seen teenagers sometimes that have gotten very, very upset. They've lost their peace. And one of the reasons that I know as an older person is I know that they've quit following the shepherd. They're out at college or somewhere like that. They're doing things they should not be doing, and they've lost the peace that they had when they were at home with their parents, doing the things that they should have been doing with their parents, living a life at home and obeying their parents. They get away from home and they do things that they should not do, and they lose their peace. Sometimes they turn to other sources to find some kind of a balance. Maybe they might turn to things they shouldn't turn to find peace. And there is no place to find peace, my friends, other than the Prince of Peace, who is Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes in our experience, we find ourselves in these places that we shouldn't be. You read the stories about sheep that have not followed the shepherd. I read a story one time about sheep that one particular sheep that had strayed from the shepherd and from his leading and from the flock. And this particular sheep had fallen off the crag of a precipice by a mountain. Fortunately, there was another area below it, and so the sheep fell down on that area and couldn't get back up by its own strength. And that's where we find ourselves sometimes in our own personal experience. You may recall a time in your own life that you had wandered from the shepherd. You had gotten in a place in your own experience that was a bad place, a place that it was a difficult place, a place that you wondered in your own mind, will I ever get out of this mess that I've gotten myself into? And here comes the shepherd along. And somehow, some way, you don't know how, he got you, the chief shepherd, got you out of that mess. I can imagine what it must have been like for David when he would find some of the sheep that had wandered from the fold and from his care, that had gotten out in the mountains and in the crags and crevices, maybe wedged between two rocks or fallen upon a precipice somewhere and could not get out. And here comes the shepherd along and with his staff and with his crook, that he would lift them up and set them back up to a place of safety and lead them back to the fold. And that sheep would wonder all his life, how did I get out of this place anyway? The chief shepherd came along and got me out of this mess. I'm not going to go over there again. Many times that's the way it is in our own experiences. David writes about the peace that the sheep have. He leads me beside the green pastures and the still waters. Now, the still waters also are a place of safety. It's a place where a sheep can drink and cross. And I believe it's indicative of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The true gospel of Jesus Christ, my friends, is peaceful. It's not something that's going to scare you. The gospel of Jesus Christ speaks about a victorious Savior who is Jesus Christ. He saved his people from their sins. That to me is a comforting message, the message of grace. And if we hear the gospel preached in some way that Jesus Christ can't save his people or he's trying to save his people, then to me, that's not still waters. To me, that's rushing, scary waters. But when I hear the true gospel preached, and when I first heard it preached, that was some still waters to me as a sheep that surely needed to find some peace. Verse 3. He speaks about the restoration of the soul. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now sheep wander off from time to time. We know that. We've wandered off from the Lord. We've backslidden in our own experiences. And sometimes they'll wander off from the church. Sometimes they wander off for a long period of time before they ever come back. But it's the chief shepherd that finds them and touches their hearts and restores them. We can wander off in our own sin sometimes. We can become so brazen in sin that it would not even appear that we were even one of the Lord's sheep. Sometimes I believe that God's people, and I know that God's people, they can get caught up in the same sins that anybody else can get caught up in. And they need to be restored. They need to have their soul restored back into the full fellowship of Jesus Christ. In Psalms 51, David himself, when he had sinned, he writes, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." David didn't lose his salvation, but he lost the joy of it. You can't lose your salvation. That's something that was purchased by Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. There's no way you can lose that. It belongs to God. You're safe in the hands of God. But I want to tell you something. You can lose the joy of your salvation. Your sins can lead you astray. They can lead you from the peace that you once enjoyed. And the only way that you can ever have the joy of your salvation, that peace again, is to find the Prince of Peace, who is Jesus Christ. And David prayed for it. And if you're out there this morning and you've lost the joy of your salvation and the peace that you've lost, the peace that you once had in your own heart, let me encourage you to return back to the Savior. Because he's the only one that can restore that. And it's an indicator not only for the young, but no matter how long you have been in God's house. You may have been in God's house for 40, 50 years. You can still lose the joy of your salvation. My friends, even the thoughts that you have that you might entertain can destroy the peace and the fellowship that you have with God. And there's plenty out there today on the internet and the movies and things like that that you might dwell upon that can destroy the peace that you once had with God. You may have backslidden in your own mind and in your own heart. And there is a time even then for you to return to the Savior, to find the peace that you once enjoyed in the sweet fellowship with Him. I'm thankful that we can look to the shepherd as being one that is a restorer of our souls, aren't you? I don't believe that David many times remembered sheep that had strayed from his pasture. That he would look back over his shoulder and he would start counting them, you know, and he'd count up to that. Maybe I had 100 in his fold and there was 99 there. And there was one that was gone. And he began to backtrack and he'd leave those 99 safely in this little place. And he began to backtrack and look for that one that was lost. And he would go back and find the lost sheep and bring it back and restore it to the fellowship of the fold. I was thinking about this particular thought this week. Did you ever hear the statement from somebody that said, "Lord, save me from my sins"? You know, when somebody says that, "Lord, save me from my sins," the first thought that goes through people's minds is somebody's asking to be saved from eternal hell because of their sins. But did you know, I don't believe that's really what that means. I believe it means this: I have sins. Lord, save me from those sins that I have. I believe that's the thought that really, because we know that if you belong to God this morning, your sins cannot condemn you eternally. Brother Charles preached that very well last Sunday. That there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Jesus Christ, to them which walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. But if I'm saying, "Lord, save me from my sins," I'm saying, "Save me from myself. Save me from the sins that I like to enjoy in my own mind and in my own heart. Lord, save me from falling in deeply into those things that they would lead me astray and cause me to bring bring a tarnish and a ruin upon my life. Restore to me the joy of my salvation and keep me in that position that I can have full fellowship with you. Also in this verse, he says, lead me. Restore to me. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Well, I believe that's one of the ways he restores us, restores our souls. He leads us back into the paths of righteousness. He brings us back to that place that we are following the shepherd. That's the way that he does it. But the thought of the Lord leading us is a wonderful thought. I'm sure that in the mind of David, as many times as he led sheep out to pasture, that as he looks at God with this perspective, he sees God as a God that has led him all the days of his life. But you stop and think about that this morning, how that God, by his hand of providence, has led you in your life. You know, in one sense, every day of our lives, every single day, we are dumb just like a bunch of sheep. Because really, every day of our lives, we really don't know what all's going to happen to us, do we? We don't know what's going to happen. It could be a tragedy. It could be a special blessing. Or it could be something kind of in the middle, just a humdrum day. But really, one event on any day can change the whole path of your life. You're not in control of your path. You never have been, and you never will be. But I'll tell you who is. The chief shepherd. He is the one that leads us, isn't he? He leads me in the paths of righteousness. And not only that, he leadeth me beside the still waters. So we see God's hand of providence in our lives leading us and guiding us on a daily basis. That is a very sweet thought to me, because sometimes we look at things that happen to us in our lives that are disappointments. You may look back at a time in your own experience that you were disappointed because you didn't get a trophy or maybe something didn't happen to you like you wanted it to. But if we see the sovereignty of God in our lives leading us, we can say, oh, well, that was God's will. The shepherd didn't want to lead me over to that pasture on that day. David saw himself, I'm sure, many times as leading sheep in a place they didn't want to go. They probably said, I want to go to that pasture today. And David said, you're not going to that pasture today. I'm going to lead you over here by this pasture today. And the sheep may have kicked and fussed and screamed and didn't like where they were going. But you see, the chief shepherd knew something that the sheep didn't know. That over there he'd seen some lions and he'd seen some wolves over there. And maybe the grass had been eaten up over there. And he wasn't going to take them over there on that day. But they were just fussing and kicking around and they were acting like they didn't want to go where the shepherd wanted him to go. But he led them to the other place. And so he leads the sheep according to his divine hand of providence. In Psalms 139, again, the psalmist writes about the leadings of God in his life. This is a psalm that we've spoken on before. And in this psalm, he speaks about the omniscience, the omnipotence, and the omnipresence of God. And in verse 3, he says, Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and you're acquainted with all my ways. He says, there's not a word in my tongue, but Lord, you know it altogether. You've beset me behind before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. And then he writes on down here in verse 9, If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. So, as the psalmist writes many times in the Psalms, how that the Lord is leading him and guiding him in his life. And he also mentions in this verse, it's for his name's sake. Every shepherd in that day had a reputation. There were good shepherds. There were poor shepherds. And even in the scriptures, it talks about pastors, how that pastors are supposed to be good shepherds. Well, the Lord is a good shepherd, isn't he? It's for his name's sake that he leads us and guides us. He has a reputation. Jesus Christ has been entrusted with the Father's sheep. If the sheep were given to the care of Jesus Christ by God the Father, then we ought to know that the Lord's going to save his people from their sins, shouldn't we? Would God the Father entrust the sheep to His Son, who is only going to save part of them? Or who might lose a few along the way? That's one thing that Brother Cox used to always love about our doctrine, is that there's no sheep are going to be lost, but every one of them are going to be saved. And Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. And there will be no sheep lost. And He has a reputation for His name's sake. You can even think about that on a personal basis, on a daily basis, that, you know, I wonder today if the Lord's going to be watching over me. I wonder if the Lord can handle the situation I'm in. I wonder if the Lord is going to be able to help me out of this mess that I'm in and with the problem in my life or my family. You can always draw deep from these wells and say, God, You got a reputation. I belong to You, and I'm one of the sheep of Your pasture. You cannot forget me. You've made a covenant. You cannot break Your covenant. And You love me with an everlasting love. And You're going to get me through this mess that I'm in. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. And there He is again. The rod and staff comfort me. Now, the valley of the shadow of death. There's been a lot of speculation on that. A lot of different ideas on the valley of the shadow of death. Some people have thought about the valley of the shadow of death as being death itself. That when we come to that place in our life that we are ready to die, that we remember that the Lord is going to be with us at that moment of death. But I think it's different than that. I see this as an experience of a shepherd with a sheep. It is said that in that day there was a place that they would lead the sheep through that was called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. It was a dangerous place that the sheep must go through. And I love the perspective that one man gave when we were in the Philippines. We were traveling down that dangerous road that I described in my log. And, you were wondering every moment if somebody was either going to run into you or what was going to happen. And he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Thou art with me. And I said, that's it. Life itself is the valley of the shadow of death. My friends, every day you wake up in the valley of the shadow of death. Every time you get in your car and you drive down the interstate, you're driving down through the valley of the shadow of death. No matter where you go in your life, who you meet, you're always in the valley of the shadow of death. You and I have no promise of tomorrow, nor do our loved ones or anybody that's here this morning. We're all in the valley of the shadow of death. And I believe as David led the sheep through the valley of the shadow of death, wherever that may have been, that he was going to watch over those sheep. You remember when David stood before Saul and the great giant Goliath was out there, and Saul said, and he said, I want to take care of that giant. I'm paraphrasing this. He dares to defy the army of God. And Saul said, but you're just a little lad. How are you going to go out and fight the great Philistine giant? And David said, I was the keeper of my father's sheep. And one day there came a lion and I grabbed him by the beard and I smote him. And there came a bear and I smote him too. And David, as a lad, he destroyed a lion and a bear in taking care of his father's sheep. And as David writes this, I think that he remembers that when he carried those sheep to the valley of the shadow of death, that he was going to be certain that not one of those sheep was going to perish as he carried them through that dangerous place. And so as he looks and thinks of God, he remembers God on a daily basis. That yes, I'm walking out in the valley of the shadow of death today. I'm living my life as a mortal. I can get sick. I can catch a disease. I can have a car accident. Anything can happen to me. I can come down with some terrible thing. But yet I'm trusting in the shepherd. Every day I'll trust in the shepherd. If I perish, I perish. That's what David said when he faced the Goliath. You know, my life is in the hand of God. My days are numbered. He knows the time of my departure. And what am I anyway? What difference? I mean, I've got a better place on the other side. So, if we can look at this psalm as we should, it's a psalm of complete submission and trust that we have to a great shepherd on a daily basis, that we're going to trust Him every day, even though we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. He's sovereign, He's in control. and is going to be watching over us and caring for us, just more so than David would watch over and care for his sheep. I'm not going to fear any evil. I'm not going to fear whatever may happen to me. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to stay up at night worrying about my blood pressure and my arthritis and the fact that I'm getting older and my hair is falling out and I can't hear anything. I'm not going to stay up at night and worry about that stuff. I got a chief shepherd that's going to take care of all that stuff. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Mark that down, as Brother Jeff mentioned this morning, and as we seldom, many times forget. I was reading this psalm last Sunday, and I hadn't even noticed that, and I was reading it this week, and sometimes things just jump off the page that you've missed before, and that is, thou art with me. Now, how many times do we remember that in our daily walk? Thou art with me. The Lord is with me. Well, the Lord's up in heaven, isn't He? No, the Lord is with me. It says in the Bible, God is omnipresent. That He is with His people. Talking about the Lord being with us and the Lord leading us, remember what He said about Jacob. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He led him through a waste, howling wilderness. He kept him as the apple of His eye. Now, the apple of your eye is that little black thing, it's called that little pupil of your eye. That's the apple of the eye. That's why it's called the apple of the eye. And you have a something naturally built into your brain that if something comes near the apple of your eye, your hand is going to go up and protect the apple of your eye. If you play sports, basketball, or anything like that, if somebody's hand comes up, you're going to throw that hand up there in front of your eye to protect it. And that's how God protects His people. You're the apple of His eye. If something comes at you naturally, He is going to reach down and protect you. And as David writes this, considering the love that the Father has for His people and Christ has for His sheep, He's daily with them, watching over them, keeping them and instructing them as the apple of His eye. He's with you. We think sometimes the Lord's not with us, that we're all alone. As David wrote in another place, I'm just like a sparrow upon the rooftop. God does not know where I am, what I'm doing, what I'm involved with. But here we see the Lord is with His people. That's a comfort, isn't it? To know that God's with you all day long. That you're really not alone. That God is there with you. You know, if we start thinking about that, then we can start talking to Him. That there's somebody present here with me. I need to have a little conversation with them. Since they're here, why not talk to them rather than just sitting there and staring into space? We can have a good time talking to the Lord if we can just get ourselves in the right frame of mind, knowing that He is there. He's even here in our church. He's here on a daily basis with us when we meet in God's house. He is with me. And thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, to the sheep, a rod and a staff was seen in the hand of the shepherd as something to prod them along, to pull them up out of the crooks and the crannies of the rocks, to help them on their way. You know, the shepherd had those things there, maybe even to knock a wolf in the head from time to time. But to the sheep, that was a comforting thing to see the shepherd there with those things in his hand. Now, it should be a comfort to us to know the Lord's got those things in His hand. You know, sometimes we don't like the Lord's chastisement. But yet, how many of us would ask the Lord this morning to remove it from our lives? Because we know it's by the chastening hand of the Lord that you and I have been kept from many things in our own personal experience. It's by the chastening hand of the Lord that you and I many times have been brought back to the place that we need to be. And if the Lord's ever chastened you, if you're going through a difficult time in your life, if you're going through a great trial, there is no better time for you than to say, Lord, what do I need to fix in my life? Is there something here that you are trying to tell me? Let me know. And we begin to examine our own personal closets and see if there is something that God is bringing to our attention. Verse 5, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. That's one of my favorite parts of this psalm, because as a sheep, can you imagine what it must have been like from a sheep to know that you were helpless? A sheep has no defense of their own. They're one of the most helpless creatures on planet Earth. And here they are out in the middle of the wilderness, And perhaps in a big field, and they're eating grass. Now remember, they didn't have farms like we have today. They had some, but usually when they took the sheep out to pasture, they were carrying them out into the wild. And there were lions and wolves and animals out there that would love to have a nice, fat little sheep to feed upon that day. And probably, while they were out there in that field, there were some of them perched upon the rocks just looking at them, just waiting for the opportunity for the shepherd to either go to sleep or turn his back and to sneak down there and grab one of the little sheep and have him for supper. But David, as he writes this, writes it in full confidence of knowing he would never go to sleep. He had every sheep in his eye, and that no wolf or lion or bear was going to get one of them. And while these sheep were out there and all of these dangers were around them, David had prepared a table for them in the presence of their enemies. Now, consider that in your own life, that we look around the world that we live in today, and it is not a kind place. If you think it is, you will find out differently sooner or later. We have, as the sheep of God's pasture, you and I have a lot of enemies around us. A lot of people like to destroy you just for the fact that you love the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to bring a commercial up this morning, but the football player that decided he was going to do something during the Super Bowl for the right to life, I've never heard so much hoopla over somebody that was going to do something good. They're trying to destroy the young man just because he was going to stand up for something that is right. People will destroy you today for standing up for what is right. But you and I today, with all the dangers around us, you just stop and think. There'd be a lot of people that like to come in here this morning and shut this place down. But God's prepared you a table in the midst of your enemies and a waste-howling wilderness that you can come peacefully and you can enjoy singing the songs of Zion and the wonderful truths of God's Word. You and I every day have a table in the wilderness. If you have blessings from God this morning, if you've got a roof over your head and food to eat, you've got a table in the wilderness that God's prepared for you to enjoy. We need to give thanks to God for His hand of providence in our lives. And then he goes on to say, we're running out of time this morning, that you anoint my head with oil. And that was favor shown to a friend when they came to visit him in that day. If you had a friend, a really good friend that came to see you from a far country, you'd usually anoint his head with oil. Now, what that means to a sheep, I'm not quite sure. But I got to thinking, and maybe from time to time, the shepherd would take some oil and rub it on the head of some of his favorite sheep. But it is a sign of special favor. We know that they anointed the kings in that day when they became kings. So it's a sign of favor. And I believe that David is saying, the Lord shown me great favor in my life. And then he says, my cup runneth over, which means that he has more than enough in his life. How is it in your life this morning? When you consider God's blessings in your life, can you not say, my cup runneth over? Every one of us should be able to say that today. None of us should be here complaining. When we come to God's house, we're to come praising the Lord. We're to come here singing songs of praise, thankful that we are able to meet in God's house and to be with God's people. Our cup runs over when we come to God's house, just to think of all the mercies and blessings that God has given us. And he ends the psalm with saying, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's confidence there that he has in the great shepherd. That there's not going to be a time in his experience when God's goodness is going to run out. Yes, God's been good to him so far, but gosh, did you ever think that in your own life? Man, God's been good to me, but I'm afraid it's going to run out one of these days. I'm afraid God's just going to quit being good to me one day, and it's going to really go downhill from there. Let me tell you something. God's not going to stop being good. His goodness never runs out. David said, surely, surely goodness will follow me all the days of my life, and surely mercy will too. Now, I don't know about you, but I need a lot of mercy. You may not need mercy in your own personal experience, but if you knew me like I know me, I need a lot of mercy, because mercy is when God doesn't give us the punishment that we rightly deserve. I'm glad there was a mercy seat and in the Holy of Holies, that it was where God shone His presence there, that there was a mercy seat, because I need a lot of mercy. Now, y'all may not need mercy, but I need it. And I'm glad the Lord's mercy is not going to run out. There's not going to come a time in my experience that God says, well, you know what? I've shown you a lot of mercy. You've messed up a lot of times, but that's it. I'm not going to give you any more. You've gone too far this time. David said, nope. Not going to be a time that God's going to say no more mercy. That it'll follow him all the days of his life. And then David makes a promise. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, that's a good promise. And that's what David, I think it's a hopeful statement. That David wants to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's hoping he's going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that should be your hope. That you're going to be in the house of the Lord forever. That you're not going to be removed. That nothing's going to keep you from coming to be a part of God's house. A wonderful psalm that's written by a person who knew everything there was to know about sheep and compares his Lord to the great shepherd of the sheep. I hope it's been a comfort to you today. And when you pick up that card and read it next time that you're in a funeral home or wherever you may be, that you'll think about Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep. Now, you may be here this morning and you may not be dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. You may have never made a public confession of Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you haven't, we give you the opportunity as we stand and sing.
Thank you for visiting Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. This has been Elder Neil Phelan, Jr., preaching for regular Sunday morning services.